Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
All right, we're back. And folks, we're going to now go and listen to what the sheriffs have to say. So go ahead and take her away.
Sheriffs have an obligation to stand up for the rights of the people, to stand up for the U.S. Constitution, no matter what the deep state or the federal government or anybody else thinks about it. And this is true in elections. This is true on border issues. This is true on the God-given rights of citizens. And it's a critical tool that Americans can use to stop the deep state, as I learned recently from my trip to the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association meeting in Las Vegas. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Behind the Deep State. I am your host, Alex Newman. Thanks so much for joining us today. I just got back from the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association meeting in Las Vegas. It was held on April 17th. It was called Resist the Temptation. And it was really an incredible summit. So much going on, so many speakers. I was blessed to speak there on the importance of the oath of office, the history, the biblical foundations of America's legal system, and of course, the biblical duty to resist tyranny, even in the face of a tyrant who may be a higher magistrate. I also got to MC the event, so I got to interact with a lot of the speakers. In fact, for the New American Magazine, we interviewed almost all the key speakers. You can go check that out. It's all at thenewamerican.com if you would like to, and I encourage you to do that. We'll show a few clips from these interviews today. We'll share just a little bit from that, but there's so much more where this came from. One of the big themes, obviously, was what sheriffs can do about the onslaught that we are facing right now in this country. The onslaught, the attack on our rights, the open border, the massive levels of election fraud that are going on that we are not supposed to be talking about. And so at this conference, you had a lot of speakers. You had sheriffs, you had media personalities, you had victims of vicious political persecution, you had businessmen, you had military leaders. General Mike Flynn was there, Mike Lindell was there, Wayne Allen Root was there, a lot of sheriffs. And one of the clear messages from this event was that the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land and that sheriffs swear an oath to the Constitution. They don't swear an oath to Joe Biden or to their governor. They swear an oath to the U.S. Constitution and also to their state constitution. And that oath is absolutely critical. That oath is sacred, right? They put their hand on a Bible and they swear that they're going to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution. And again, that applies to all different areas of life. That applies to protection, of course, from criminals, the protection of life, liberty, property, et cetera. But it also applies to prosecuting election crimes, people who are trying to take hijack control of our government. It applies to the surge in illegal immigration and how Joe Biden now is trying to use this massive illegal immigration to corrupt our elections process further. It applies to the protection of the people of each county from lawlessness. And so sheriffs shared this information. Other leaders had the opportunity to share this information. It was a really, really great conference. The whole thing was broadcast by Lindell TV. Apparently 50,000 people watched it live, and a lot of people are still watching it now. The fake media was just crawling all over the place. MSNBC was there. They had a reporter, Brandy something. I didn't recognize her, but one of the other guys from the conference recognized her and said, "Hey, Alex, is that Brandy, whatever her name is?" And I said, "I don't know who that is." "Oh, well, she is vicious. She's a liar. She's so dishonest." Well, sure enough, the article that she published on NBC News was a total misrepresentation of what happened at the summit, a total misrepresentation of what was said, of what the CSPOA teaches. You had The Guardian, the UK Guardian, a far left major newspaper, reporting on the summit. You had the Daily Mail. You had the Associated Press was there. You had a lot of prominent media at this event. And I guess it shows that they are concerned about the significance of these sheriffs. They're concerned that if sheriffs actually wake up and do their duty, the totalitarians are going to have a real problem trying to impose their evil agenda on all of us. So I had the opportunity to interview some of these incredible speakers who were there. One that really, really jumped out at me was Sheriff Glenn Hamilton. He's from Sierra County in New Mexico. And his story is just incredible. So you had basically the totalitarian governor of New Mexico decided that they were going to shut down all of the churches. Right? They said the churches were unessential, non-essential, and therefore they all had to shut down. Well, the pastor, Caleb Cooper of New Hope Revival Church, I believe it was called, was ordered to shut down his church, and the state police called him in for a meeting, and they said, hey, imagine how terrible it would be if somebody were to die because your church stayed open. And his response was positively brilliant. He said, yeah, imagine if somebody were to die without hearing the gospel and then spend eternity in hell because the church didn't stay open. So, you know, kindly, we're not going to be closing our church. So he connected with Sheriff Glenn Hamilton, and the sheriff knew that he wasn't going to be shutting down this church. He you know, tried to intervene with the state police. It didn't work. So he eventually went in and deputized the entire congregation. He made them all into sheriff's deputies. He went into the church. They all took the oath of office. And that way, law enforcement was exempt. And so they were all sheriff's deputies. They could continue to meet for important purposes. I want to show you this little excerpt of the interview that we did with the sheriff. It was just so powerful. You should check out the whole thing at The New American. But here is a little excerpt from that.
When I was first elected to the office, everyone told me that, you know, Sheriff, you're going to leave a legacy behind, and only you have control over what that legacy is. So when the restrictions started coming down during COVID, again, we were getting these orders from the governor's office. And in some cases, there were 3 and 4 amendments per day. I had a staff member, one of my IT staff members, whose sole job was essentially to keep track of these orders and the changes that were coming down. So when the pastor came to my office and informed me that the governor has just sent out an Amber Alert, truly, I mean, something that you would normally get over your phone when there's some kind of a local emergency, use the Amber Alert system when there's an abducted child. Use this to notify the churches and citizens throughout New Mexico that the churches had just been deemed unnecessary. And that they were to close down. And keep in mind, this was the eve of Easter.
Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. Church is unessential. You can't have church. You can have abortions. You can have liquor, but you can't have church. Continuing here with this sheriff, listen to this. This is what he did.
The pastor said, it was one of the most profound statements that he made during this whole thing. It was the only thing, Sheriff, that is worse than dying from the COVID is to have somebody who needed to come to my church and accept the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart, and that they were unable to get that opportunity, and they died of COVID without receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior and burning in hell for eternity.
Can you imagine? Wow.
How can you say no to something like that? I would have walked through hell itself, if need be, in order to ensure that those doors stayed open. And I think that message has been resounding.
Amen, Sheriff. We so appreciate you standing firm. And, you know, now we look back and it's kind of obvious that the totalitarians were out of control. But at the time, there was a lot of fear, even among people who understand the Constitution, even among people who realize that the government lies about virtually everything. There was a lot of concern. And so it took a tremendous amount of courage for Pastor Caleb Cooper and for Sheriff Glenn Hamilton to stand firm and say, no, we are not going to allow that. We are not going to shut down this church. And this whole idea of deputizing citizens, it's kind of been lost in our culture, unfortunately. But this has been a long tradition of sheriffs going back hundreds of years, right? They didn't have the manpower to stop an insurrection, a rebellion, a criminal gang that was running through the county. And so they oftentimes relied on the able-bodied male citizens of the county to help enforce the law. And it's a critical thing that we remember, especially in these troubling times that we're coming to. I mean, we all remember what happened in 2020, you know, burning down our cities, law enforcement nowhere to be found, people shooting cops. And, you know, that is the time when it's appropriate to call out a posse, to deputize citizens and say, look, we need help enforcing the law. We need help maintaining law and order. And so the able-bodied, trustworthy citizens of this community should come out and should be deputized. And there was actually a sheriff at the summit who spoke on this very issue, Sheriff Bob Songer of Klickitat County in Washington. He has deputized about 150 citizens in his county. Obviously, he does background checks first, make sure they're not criminals, make sure that they can be trusted. But so he's deputized 150 citizens in his community to help him in his duties. That saves a lot of money for taxpayers. It supplements the resources of the sheriff's office. It allows the real deputies to focus on other things. So when we get back from this quick break, I'm going to play a little clip from that interview with Sheriff Songer. It's just so critical. And I hope you'll share this with your sheriffs, ladies and gentlemen. Make an appointment with them, make a meeting with them, and tell them about this. So we'll be right back on the other side of this break. We'll hear from Sheriff Bob Songer.
Remember when the only uncertainty in news was the weather forecast? Now, our world is clouded by half-truths, misdirection, and gaslighting. The deluge of lies from leftist activists posing as journalists is unrelenting. At The New American, we hold fast to the timeless truths of our founders. Sanctuary in the storm. Visit thenewamerican.com today and get 25% off your subscription.
Welcome back to Behind the Deep State with me, your host, Alex Newman. Thanks so much for being with us. Before we went to break, we were talking about some of the sheriffs I had the opportunity to interview at the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association convention in Las Vegas. It was called Resist the Temptation, right? Resist the temptation to go along with the tyrants. Resist the temptation to take federal money in exchange for your soul or your authority or your conscience, right? Resist the temptation to go along, to get along, and oppress the citizens of your county. A little bit of background before we get to Sheriff Bob Songer. If you're not familiar with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, I'll share with you in a moment, Sheriff Richard Mack. He's the founder. He actually refused as a sheriff in Arizona to enforce Bill Clinton's and the Brady Bill, right? That nasty piece of gun control. And it ended up in court, of course. And it went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the sheriff is absolutely not obligated to enforce federal mandates, statutes, regulations, decrees, et cetera. The sheriff doesn't work for the federal government. And so the Supreme Court articulated in that decision, 1997, Prince versus United States, the authority of the sheriff and also what's called the anti-commandeering doctrine. They said the federal government cannot order the states or the county governments, the sheriffs, to do things, to participate in the enforcement of statutes or whatever else, constitutional or otherwise, right? The sheriff doesn't work for the federal government. The sheriff works for the citizens of his county, and he is obligated to uphold his oath of office, and that's it. Now, the next sheriff I want to share with you, this is Sheriff Bob Songer of Klickitat County. He deputized 150 so far in his community. It's driving the radical left crazy, but listen to his rationale here.
Your topic today was setting up a constitutional posse in your county. For the folks out there who maybe aren't familiar with the law enforcement lingo, maybe they haven't watched a lot of Western movies, what does it mean to set up a posse, and what does it mean to have a constitutional posse?
Well, it really is not called a constitutional posse. It's a posse, sheriff's posse. In 2014, when I first elected sheriff, we had a manpower shortage like most agencies have. So what I did a community policing thing. So I reached out to the community and got volunteer citizens, and we do a background check to make sure they're not convicted felons or child molesters or anything like that. They got a clean record. And it's all volunteer on their part, good citizens of the county to assist the sheriff in his duties within the county. I would point out I've got about 150 posse members, and I started that program in 2015 when I took office. And my God, the far left just went nuts. Sheriff Songer's out there, he's got a posse, he's going to be tracking down immigrants and hanging people from oak trees. And, no, I'm serious.
Goodness.
Of course, I wasn't the majority of the people saying that, but it was that far left woke group. Mm-hmm. That just literally hates me anyway.
Yeah.
And furthers from the truth. First of all, the posse has no arrest authority. Okay? It's like a countywide crime watch. Mm-hmm. They go through training. Each month we have some training we go through with them. And we have three divisions that make west end of the county, central division of the county, and then the far east end of the county. And these are really good, outstanding citizens that are helping the sheriff out, the department. And I've got six pilots that fly for us at no cost to the taxpayers.
Wow.
During fire season, they fly to look for smoke where there shouldn't be smoke. Or if we're looking for a bad guy, a vehicle, or lost people, the posse pilots assist us in that effort.
So, folks, this is something that can be done in any county, right? Any sheriff in America can deputize a posse and use that to supplement his resources, use that to protect the citizens of the community from violence and lawlessness and anything else. I mean, whether it be an illegal order to confiscate firearms or to shut down churches or to silence free speech or to shut down newspapers, this is where the posse can come in. Now, Sheriff Richard Mack, the founder of the CSPOA, I mentioned him. He sued the Clinton administration and won at the Supreme Court. But he actually has some comments on how important the sheriff can be in saving America. This is an interview I did with him a couple of years ago, actually, but it's just as relevant today. I want to share this with you.
We are peddling hope because of the true message that comes from discovering that your sheriff is the ultimate authority in your county, and he's ultimately responsible for protecting your liberty. So, from who? Well, what does the oath say? All enemies, both foreign and domestic. So God bless America's sheriffs who actually know and understand their duty to uphold, defend, protect, and preserve the United States Constitution. And if they do that, what are they actually doing? They're protecting your natural rights, your God-given rights. And could anything be more beautiful than that? And isn't it amazing? Liberty comes first in America. And that means to every peace officer, every sheriff, every chief of police, our duty and our responsibility first is liberty.
Amen.
And that's what we train in.
Amen, Sheriff Richard Mack. Thank you for that. Now, there are hundreds of sheriffs who are members of Sheriff Mack's organization, CSPOA. It's really a great group. One of those sheriffs is Sheriff Dar Leaf. And I had an opportunity to interview him at a previous Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Convention that I emceed. I want to let you listen to him talking about how he was trying to find out what was going on with the voter fraud and the importance of the sheriff securing elections. Listen to this. Are you concerned about election integrity, and do you see that as something that the sheriff should be involved in?
Oh, absolutely, with the sheriff being involved. And yeah, I'm concerned with it. And it's time for everybody and news media and everybody to quit calling the public stupid. Everybody watched what happened that night. They watch all these swing states shut down, and then later on they kick back on counting their votes again, and all of a sudden the election completely flipped. And people saw that, and I think the people are tired of it, and they wanted an investigation, so we're going to give them one. I'm embarrassed that the big agencies haven't gone out and done it. In fact, they've done just the opposite. They've gone after the clerks who've reported stuff to the sheriffs. And to me, that's kind of embarrassing for law enforcement right there.
Yeah, embarrassing and outrageous. In fact, that seems like interfering with a law enforcement investigation. I did interview Sheriff Dar Leaf at the latest one. He's a sheriff in Berry County, Michigan. And he said, he couldn't believe it. But the state attorney general tried to press charges against him. The secretary of state trying to interfere in these investigations. He says it's been nothing but walls trying to stop this, trying to investigate what's going on here, which is really just absolutely outrageous. We also had a chance to interview Mike Lindell. He's got a petition for paper ballots to help try to get the elections secured. I want to share with you just a little bit of that clip as well. His petition is really, really important.
Back in August, when I announced the plan to secure elections, which everybody can go to lindellplan.com. You can also see the details of the roundtable tomorrow. We'll talk about that. But the plan, when I announced that in August, that's why MyPillow's been attacked worse now than any time in history. Yeah. They go, wow, we got to stop this guy's big mouth. And we were debanked, deplatformed, we've been demerchant server, you name it. There's no company in the history of the world that's been a attack more than MyPillow.
Yeah.
Bar none.
And yet still you're here and still you're selling pillows and still you're fighting. So
But the reason is because we have this plan going to all 3,143 counties. But one of the last key component is a petition. We are announcing it right here, right now. We're announcing the biggest petition the world has ever seen, and not just a normal petition. This is 3,143 of them. We're going to the specific county. Like I live in Carver County. That you go to LindellPlan.com. The petition's right there. You're gonna go down to your county, and it tells about your county. Now what are we gonna do with those? Well, when we go back to those clerks that make the decisions to go to paper ballots, hand count, that's gonna be part of our thing. After we tell them, well, no, they're not more expensive to go to paper ballots. It's cheaper.
Yeah.
And we give them every reason why we should be with paper ballots. And then we say, oh, by the way, 90% of the county wants paper ballots hand counted. Yeah. And by the way, 50% of them are Democrats.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, this is what the people want. So this petition is going to be so big.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's huge. And like Mike Lindell said, right, there's so much we can do at the county level. In fact, we also interviewed General Flynn at the event, and he emphasized over and over again, local action for national impact, right? We may not be able to control what Congress is doing, but we can certainly develop a relationship with our sheriff. We can certainly develop a relationship with our county commissioners, insist on honest elections, insist on getting rid of the machines. We can insist on proper counting. We can insist on making sure that illegal immigrants and felons are not allowed to vote. And these are things that we have to do, ladies and gentlemen. It's critical that we protect the elections. It's critical that we protect our liberties and our rights. And the county government and, of course, the state government, we've done whole episodes on nullification. These are absolutely critical in this process of protecting our country. And, you know, we've interviewed here on this program Tom Homan, former director of ICE, who said that they dissolved the border on purpose to shift the politics of this country to benefit Democrats. Mark Morgan, former head of Customs and Border Protection, said the same thing. We interviewed here the Secretary of State for Hungary, the country of Hungary, and he said the reason that the evildoers, the globalists, are doing this is because they want to eliminate Christianity. They want to undermine the nation state. And folks, at our county level, with our sheriffs, with our state legislatures, with our county commissions, with our city councils, we can work on pushing back this tyranny, and we absolutely must. The deep state doesn't control every county government in this country. They certainly don't control every sheriff in this country. In fact, there are hundreds of sheriffs who are standing against these totalitarians. In New Mexico, almost every sheriff stood against gun control. In Illinois, almost every sheriff stood against gun control. So, ladies and gentlemen, we can do so much. I hope you will take this message seriously. I hope you'll share this video with your sheriff. Give him a call. Set up a meeting. Give them this video. Give them this this information. We've got to do it. And of course, we also have one of our affiliates, the Law Enforcement Intelligence Brief, which I write for sometimes. It goes to every police chief and sheriff in the country, giving them good intelligence, what they need to know that the feds are not giving them, what they need to know about the threats to their community, their authority. And yeah, there's just so much more to say, but we're out of time, folks. I appreciate you tuning in. I'm Alex Newman. This is Behind the Deep State for the New American. Thanks for watching. Until next time, God bless you all.
And exclusive, the left's election industrial complex discovered and defined. There's a battle taking place in America today. This is an article by Joe Hoft. It's the left's election industrial complex versus fair and transparent elections. While conservative groups argue over whether we should vote early on election day, the election industrial complex is adding, deleting, managing entities that are clandestinely operating behind U.S. elections. Now, you know, where are Republicans? I mean, we know this. Like he said, I was one of those who was sitting there watching him completely flip the invert those numbers. And it's right in front of you they did this, okay? A document produced by Higher Ground Labs entitled The 2020 Political Tech Landscape outlines what we've labeled the election industrial complex. And they've got a chart here. This, and it shows you all of the, how they're working together. The data, the voter contract, how they operate the machines, everything. The document begins with an introduction and summary of the results of the 2022 election using the left's bastardization of the word democracy and projection of their communist actions upon those who want fair and transparent elections. It goes on. Voter suppression in 2020 election deniers presented challenges in the 2022 with the active efforts to attack vote-by-mail, close polling places, harass nonpartisan election administrators, and spread misinformation in Arizona. Boy, did they do it. Georgia, Florida, and beyond. Technology is playing an increasingly important role in supporting coordinated responses to attacks on democracy. From refining messages development to enhancing on-the-ground organizations for informing and protecting voters. You know, John, President Trump was president on that day. He was the president, and he did his job. He did his job on January 6th, too. His job was to protect the people of the country. It was his election, and his job was to protect that. He understood what was taking place. And so all of this, this deep state, this crooked Jack Smith, the entire thing, I watched that January 6th so-called committee. Benny Thompson, I listened. Every single thing that Benny Thompson said was a lie. I mean, it's like right in your face. They're lying to you. It's like they're telling you, you know, today is actually Monday. And they all agree and they insist on it. You know, this is the way they are. They're right out in front. You know, what did Hitler say? Or Marx, a lie told long enough and loud enough becomes the truth. And then Hitler says, what is a lie today is the truth for tomorrow, right? And this is the kind of...
that was the Nazis. That's what they said.
Yep.
Goebbels was the one that was saying, just keep lying and they'll believe it.
Yeah. And so...
Yeah, well, see, that's what's going on in the courts now, up in the Supreme Court. He's the president of the United States. And if he thinks that his election is being stolen, he has every right to investigate it.
Not just the right, it's his duty.
Yes, yes. Yes, so they're trying to say he was interfering with the election. What actually was happening was he was interfering with their stealing of the election.
Absolutely. And they were in coordination with all of the so-called mainstream media. They're working thick as thieves.
The mainstream Pravda.
So,
you know, Mr. Ernie, I understand the Democrats. They're just
reprobates
on the political level, liars and lie, steal anything. But it's these the Pence types of Republicans, the McDonald types, the Ryan Park types. What are they, Pastor Ernie? They're just like, what, Democrat lights?
They were called, during the war for the Revolutionary War, they referred to as traitor Tories. And that's what they are.
Yeah, but we would win if they would be with us, but they're not. They're not.
No. And one of the things we've been telling people here for years, we warned about how, and right here in Ohio, we have a real problem with what they call the Rhino
Blue 22.
And we warned people. We were telling people and telling people, and it was like, well, some within the Republican Party here in Ohio tried to stop it, but they had rigged the election. They had it rigged. They had it all.
We got to close our primaries.
And what they did was, again, they were encouraging all of these Republicans that had voted for Obama, you know, these Democrats, rather, that had been longtime Democrats, to switch and vote in the primary, run as Republicans, get an R behind your name. And the word went out to all of the Democrats, vote for these Republicans. And so they got both the Republican and the Communist vote, and they won. That's how they worked it. People didn't vet them. We were trying to warn them. We were telling them. People that listened to this program know that we were warning and telling them. So,
well, Pastor Ernie, you remember, I don't know how many years ago now, but I had that big confrontation in York County, Pennsylvania.
I sure do.
The Planned Parenthood and the courts and the district attorney and the mayor and all. So what happened was Planned Parenthood has got all sorts of money behind it and all sorts of like rich people behind it. So what they did was they broke up in teams, and some of them would support the Republican, like let's say district attorney, and the other one would support the Democrat that was running for district attorney. They did it for judges. They did it for mayors. They did it for everyone, so that no matter who won, Planned Parenthood had their hooks in them, whether they were Democrats or Republicans. They were big donors.
Yeah.
They went out, and a judge, an honest judge, told us that. He said, Planned Parenthood owns York County, Pennsylvania, and he told us how they did it. And he said that they donate heavy to his campaign, and he said, you can't win. And you'll never win in York County. And we couldn't. We had to appeal it. As soon as we would appeal the cases, we'd win on appeal. But not in York County. It was completely owned by Planned Parenthood. The Democrats and Planned Parenthood.
Right. You have this, you know, today they have what they call Higher Ground Labs. It built an enduring platform for technological experimentation and iteration, which have invested dozens of companies, many of which have become integral components of a political tech for the far left. In the 2020 alone, our companies reached 7,500 campaigns and 70 million voters. There they go. This is a large communist operation, and it's totally illegal what they're doing. But then again, it goes back to we don't have a Justice Department. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
On a cold winter's morning, on a sidewalk in the city, a lost soul approached me as the snow was getting deep. I could see the look of death. It was there in her eyes now as I began to preach. She began to speak. She said,
Peter, I'll admit it. I've come to kill my baby. The whole world is telling me that I have that right. But deep down inside me, I believe what you're preaching. Children are a gift of God. We've gotta give them life.
So I put my arm around her. And I gave her the gospel. It was right there in the darkness that she would see the light. Two souls were saved there, both her and her baby. If you're called to do the Lord's work, you had better learn to do it right. You've got to know how to please Him. Not just to please Him. Don't try to walk away. There's nowhere to run. Now every preacher knows the rock of his salvation. I'll separate the goats from all the sheep. All men are sinners. They all need a Savior. He's the only one to trust in. It's your soul that he'll keep. And when I finish preaching,
the woman was a believer. A baby in her womb I knew she would keep. And now 25 years later, her baby is a young preacher. She's so very proud of the baby that she decided to keep. You got to know how to please him. Not just to please him. Don't try to walk away. There's no way to run. Even count your blessings. Please him while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the sun. You got to know how to please him.
Gotta please him.
Not just to please him. Don't try to walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count your blessings.
And do it while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's God the Son. You've got to know.
Not just a teacher. Don't try and walk away. While you're able, he's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the soul.
That's right, he's the keeper of your soul. Alrighty, very good. We'll take a couple fast calls. Let's go to San Diego, and Jack, you're in air.
Yes, so you were, you just had a tape on about a sheriff and his interest in deputizing citizens. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So I was in a homeowners association, and I sat on the board for about a year, and we were covered by errors and omissions insurance since board members were likely to be sued. And one of the reasons why police officers are leaving the force today is they're starting to sue police officers individually. And they're not being protected by their city or county.
It's called lawfare. That's what they're doing. They've decided to go after all of us on the right, and they want it to turn into total anarchy. You create a crisis, and by doing that to the police officers, and that's why so many of them are quitting. I know they're in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh. They're having a real hard time trying to get police officers.
Well, so my question is, do you think that it would be more likely that people would volunteer and become a deputy sheriff if they were covered by something similar to errors and omissions insurance? Do you know if this particular sheriff has addressed that issue? That is, the people he deputizes, are they going to be liable, or are they going to be covered by some type of insurance?
No, they're not. As far as I know, they're not covered by any kind of an insurance. But I do know that it's something that's necessary. It's coming up, and you know, again, we're at war. There is a communist revolution taking place right now, and so
it's county based on your sheriffs, right? Each sheriff will have their own preferences in how they operate. So you should call your county sheriff.
Yep. Yeah, find out. Okay, so thanks, Jack.
The last thing I wanted to bring up is how the Democrats push diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's the DEI. And what hypocrites. Because what the Democrats are pushing now is genocide against the Jews.
You have to understand something, Jack. I know that, but you have to understand something. To us, hypocrisy is a bad thing. To us, it's repulsive. To them, it's not. I've said in, when Hillary had her book signing here in Cleveland, I said, and they didn't know who I was, and I sat there, and they were bragging about how the hypocrisy, how they talked people or made people do something they would never do themselves or wouldn't do. They were boasting about hypocrisy. Remember, the Democratic Communist Party now, whatever God's word, the Bible teaches, they're in total opposition. That's a reality. Whether you like it or not, that's the reality of the Democratic Communist Party in America today.
So you see what's going on in the universities. I think the situation's going to get worse. And I think the only way that you're going to be able to control it is through some type of martial law. And once again, the United States military refuses to step in. I know how serious the situation is. And I just think that it's not going to get resolved till the military takes a position.
I think the military might this time, if they see a civil war coming. So that's a possibility. But we got to move on. All right, thanks. Let's go out to, we're going to go to Elizabeth. Elizabeth in Ohio, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor. I wanted to say that, you know, Romans 13:1 says, "Every soul, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, because the powers that be are ordained of God." And Titus 3:1, it says, "We're to put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work." So, in Jesus' example, when he was arrested, he was led like a sheep to slaughter, not said a word, and to render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, he said. So what I'm saying is, this thing, you said resistance to tyranny is obedience to God, but where is that in Scripture? Can you give me a chapter and verse, please? Because I've read my Bible front to back multiple times, the King James Version. It's not there.
Yeah, it's called From Genesis to Revelation.
Right.
We start with Shiphrah and Puah, two women that were wet nurses. They worked, they were employed by the government, and the king told them to kill the male babies. God said not to. They obeyed God. You had Shadrach,
right.
Meshach, and Abednego. Okay,
okay,
they
right.
were told to yeah. they were told to worship a statue, an idol, and God said not to, and
right.
they obeyed God. You had Daniel. Daniel was the president, and it's really amazing all of the different things. How Daniel and President Trump, there's so many things that are similar with those two. Daniel was a president. He had two other presidents that were trying to take him down and take his life. President Trump has the same thing. Daniel was at war with corrupt judiciary lawfare in his... President Trump has the very same thing. And so Daniel got out of the lion's den, and those that put him there, the deep state, didn't end so well, and... Hopefully,
I'd like to say yes. I agree with this, that we are to obey the powers that are ordained of God, unless it interferes or conflicts with what God's law says. When God says, you know, not to do something, we don't do it.
You've got that kind of backwards here. In other words, God's law is law when it tells you that there's no power but that of God. That those that are ordained means to be set aside. It means God's word takes precedent. Do you have a Bible in front of you?
Yes.
Turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and read me verse 7.
Hang on. I know where it's at. Well, I'll get to that.
Did you want me to read it, Pastor?
Go ahead, yeah.
Go ahead, John.
Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, consider the end of their conversation, their lifestyle.
Now read verse 17.
Verse 17. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, not that is unprofitable for you.
Now let me ask you, John, would that apply to congressmen, senators, governors, and presidents?
Yeah, that's everybody, Pastor Ernie, universal, everybody.
Okay, so he's referring to those are God's Bible teachers, God's prophets, right? He's referring to those that God has ordained.
Yes. Yes.
Where was that again? 13?
Read verse 7 and 17.
Okay. 13.
And the thing, too, about you have to understand what it really means. It says to render unto God what belongs to God and render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. That's a whole message. But you have to understand something, Elizabeth. Here's Jesus was speaking to those. He was speaking to the Herodians, which were the legislators, and he was speaking to the Pharisees, which were the judicial. Mm-hmm. And now these people that under the law, according to the law, they were asking him according to the law, and according to the law, render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and render to God what belongs to God. You have to understand what he says. Go to Genesis chapter 9 when the law was given. But the Bible says the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to God. Everything on the earth belongs to God. So when you give everything on that earth that belongs to God, whatever's left, old Caesar can have. But the reality is this, if you understand, Caesar was made in the image of God. That's the point that Jesus was when he made to those that understood the law, according to the law. But I have to move on, so let's go to AC in Cleveland. AC, you're in the air.
Hello, Pastor, Chaplain, and crew, who's ever left.
Okay.
Real quick, the caller mentioned the scripture, render unto Caesar what Caesar's and unto God what's God's. The word render means to pay. It's an old English word, to pay. Now, a lot of Christians don't realize this. What are we supposed to pay unto God? 10%, the tithe. And the disciples knew that. And the sad thing about so many Christian churches today is they're not teaching the congregation to tithe. And we're supposed to tithe, and the tithe is the Lord's money. And when Christians don't tithe, they cheat themselves of God's blessing.
I've got to say this very quickly because the whole board is lit up, but let me do this very quickly. The point that he was making, look, when Caesar considered himself to be God, the reason they came to Jesus was this: they were trying to put him in a position where he could not give a right answer. In other words, if he would have said, go ahead, okay, and tithe to Caesar, then that would have been in violation of the first commandments. And the Jews under Herod could have had Jesus stoned. On the other side of that, if he says, no, do not tithe to Caesar, then Caesar would have had him for insurrection. So the idea was that he was supposedly not be able to give a right answer. The answer that he gave them really had them beside themselves because they had to go back to the people and tell the people, what did he say? Well, he said, well, you know, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and God what belongs to God. According to the law, what belongs to God? The earth and the fullness thereof. And find out, Jesus said what? You are not your own. You belong to God. And Caesar was a man in the image of God. Go back to Genesis 9. You find out God kept man for himself. But anyhow, I got to move on. But thanks, AC. Let's go to Leo in San Diego. Leo, you're in the air.
Hello, sir. Question
hello.
Here for what's right, what's left of radio ministry. It's a question about human pregnancy and the language used to define and describe it. Okay, at what point would you say in an up to 9-month pregnant womb when contents can truly be described as born, that is, not so-called, quote, pre-born, end quote, and I could rephrase the question as a human child or ever described as being pre-born, if not also at the same time, ever born or unborn?
Okay, here's the point. That child got a woman has never given birth to anything other than a human. Okay, so that from the time of fertilization, the time of conception, that is a human being. Okay, so to destroy that at any time, God calls murder, and that's reality. So it doesn't.
Okay, so.
Pardon?
Moment of conception.
From the moment of conception, absolutely.
All
right. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1 and read verse 5.
Jeremiah 1.
1:5, yep.
I intend to do that, sir.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Leo. John, it's time. How many minutes do I have there, John? John, you've got 5 minutes.
Okay, Pastor Ernie. I was thinking about Romans chapter 10, which we had spoken on to start the show.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, we go with verses, we'll say 8 through 10. But what saith it? For the word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that this is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when we look at scriptures, the gospel is very, very clear. It's very, very simple. That the Apostle Paul said how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised again the third day. And the two parts, folks, for eternal life, according to the word of God, is believing that on the cross, Jesus Christ, the sinless, only begotten Son of God, paid the penalty for your sin so that you could have eternal life. There is a penalty for sin, and it's death. The wages of sin is death. So it's very simple, the gospel, where Jesus took the penalty for your sin, death, and God then took the righteousness, because Jesus was without sin. He was completely free of sin. The Bible says he was righteous, and that's imparted into you. So the gospel then is to believe that Jesus died for you on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. He was buried. And he rose bodily the third day from the grave. If you believe that, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that means you will have eternal life. That's pretty simple, Pastor Ernie, isn't it?
It is.
So it's not complicated, folks. It's God loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. He was without sin. He was a perfect human being. And God loves you so much that Jesus died for you, and then God imparts Jesus' righteousness into you. That's how you go to heaven. You can't work your way in there because there's a penalty for sin. And then when you do believe in Jesus like that, God becomes your Abba Father. He becomes you have a personal relationship with God as your Abba Father. Abba is a Hebrew word for daddy, daddy God. That's open for everybody right now, no matter what your background is. You could be the worst sinner who ever lived. If you're willing to repent, turn away. Repent means to turn away and to face Jesus Christ about faith and center him as your life with the word of God. With that confession, the repentance is necessary, and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Pastor Ernie, I don't know how much is left, but I feel that was the message for the hour here.
Well, we've got about 90 seconds left for the night. Okay. I do want to tell the folks out there that right now, 2 Chronicles 7:14 tell us to pray, folks. We are at war. You have to understand this. What we're telling you, we are at war right now. And it's both a spiritual and it's a cold war. For that's the very first thing. You start on your knees before the Almighty, and then you put feet to and run to this battle. And so, tell me, when are we at 30 seconds? All right, 45 seconds left. All right, so it's time to tell you, all of you out there, remember that. Pray. And then run to the fight. We are out of time, so this is the time we come to every night when we say to all of you out there, God bless.
Good night.
Go to church, a real church. Good night. Yeah, and then be you a doer of the word. And then remember, always. Keep. Fighting the fight.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.